We rely on scientific evidence for so many things in modern society. So how does science see the issue of animal sentience? Peter Sanho is chairman of the National Animal Ethics Council in Copenhagen.
I think a lot of science is not focused particularly on sentience. It's focused on understanding nature, and sometimes they come up with things which are relevant. Looking to the world through the eyes of science is like looking through very small windows, small, well-defined windows. And one window, you get the view of a stress physiologist who knows all the ins and outs and stress response of the animal. Through another window, you get the view of someone who's an expert understanding animal behavior. A third person may be an expert in animal cognition. And if you want to know about animal welfare as a layperson, which I am in this respect, because even though I'm a professor, I'm a philosopher by training, but try to collect all this knowledge, you have to be aware first about all the wonderful things you can see through these small windows of science, and also about their limitations. Science is a wonderful thing, but there's also something called common sense. And if you're going to make a picture of what's good or bad for animals, you need to listen to scientists. I gave an example. When I started at the school where I am now, it was very common for professors of animal production to say, it's castration of pigs, you don't need to anesthetize them, because the mere handling of a pig is just as painful as cutting off its testicles. And that was actually widely accepted. Then some very clever scientists tried to understand the neural function of neonatal pigs. They did some study about how the pigs were screaming, and showed out the screams they made when they were being castrated were very different from the screams they made when they were being handled. And now we have a completely different view. So actually, this is an example where science can educate us. But sometimes science doesn't have the whole story. I have the example of foie gras, where you produce this wonderful French dish by maltreating dogs, by overfeeding, force-feeding them. A discussion, this is bad for a dog to be force-fed. And the study shows that probably there doesn't seem to be much of a reaction. But I said, well, maybe science is too narrow in its look at it. And even if science can't come up with anything, we should be allowed to say this is wrong. So my message was really that we have to listen to science. We shouldn't be ignorant so that we actually go on doing things which are bad for animals just because we think they're good. But we also, at some stage, must see that science only has a limited view on things, and often there's what you could call scientific uncertainty. I mean, for example, if you discuss how many animals can you stock in a certain place, if you ask the science, well, they'll say, well, there's no definite answer to that. It's just slowly getting worse and worse, but there's no cut-off point. That means that we, as ordinary people, and me as the chairman of this council, has to make decisions based on common sense. So actually, my main message was that we need both science and common sense. And there's been a swing. It used to, for a while, it was as if no one could have an opinion without science. The EU Commission has actually a committee giving advice. They only allow in scientists, and I think that's bad, because I think only allowing in scientists is actually first keeping up an illusion that science has answers to all things, and secondly, it's preventing the scientists from getting all the lay perspectives, all the common sense views. So to my mind, the ideal way of running these things is, of course, a combination of scientists and informed lay people. And why doesn't the EU Commission do that? Well, they don't do it because it makes life complicated. They like technocrats. They like to have things done by a group of people who will certainly agree, but that's not democracy. And this long run is not animal welfare either.
What sort of thing do you think has to happen in order for us to see science in a different way, so to include science and common sense together, and for both approaches to be used in our formulation of policy?
I mean, actually, the same thing I said is I'm a great admirer of science. But to admire it, you must also see its limitations. And sometimes the worst people are those who admire it too much, so they can't see the limitations, and then they end up being in the camp of those who hate science. I think both sides are wrong. I mean, to appreciate the limits of science, we must also see the strengths. And scientists must come up more openly about what they haven't got answers about. And I think that's what scientists are not very good about. If you go to a conference with scientists, they always only speak about what they don't know. They're very good at discussing it. As soon as they get on television, they pretend that they have all the answers. And so scientists being more open about what they don't know, scientists actually in a more open way communicating about the limits of what they have to give, will in the long run actually reinforce the role of science rather than the opposite. Because if science pretends it has all the answers, people get upset for good reasons.
That's Peter Sanho, chairman of the National Animal Ethics Council in Copenhagen.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.